Are you a current speaker or an attorney, coach, expert, or entrepreneur who's tired of speaking for free or being underpaid? Are you ready to make bank for your brilliance? I have the perfect solution for you. Speaker Moguls. We create highly paid, sought-after speakers by focusing on teaching you to master the business of professional speaking and building a bankable speaker brand that gets you known and paid. If you're ready to do what it takes for clients to put some respect on your name and pay you your value, you need to join our Speaker Moguls community now. You can join us at speakermogulsgroup.com. Yep, that's speakermoguls with an S, group.com. Let's go get your money. Welcome to the Ladies Who Leverage podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Charles Collins. And I know that you know we're on hiatus for the summer, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get amazing content. So I'm going to share with you some interviews I did with some of the women in Ladies Who Leverage. We had an amazing series called What's the Tea during Women's History Month, where we talked about things from self-care to women in work to empowerment and also about relationships. So I'm going to share those with you so that you have some amazing new content. You're going to find that the ladies had some great strategies and tips and tactics for navigating the world as women. So I hope you enjoy this series. And again, if you want to know more about Ladies Who Leverage, we are a global network of diverse women who collaborate to leverage our influence, to increase our income and create impact so we can live life unapologetically AF. You can always go to ladieswholeverage.com to learn more or join us in our Facebook group. So for now, I want you to enjoy this series. It was our What's the Tea series. I want you to enjoy that. We talked about self-care. We talked about women in work. We talked about empowerment and we talked about relationships. And as always, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. And please leave a review and share it with your network. Bye for now. Welcome everyone to What's the Tea? Real women having real conversations. This is sponsored by Ladies Who Leverage in celebration of Women's History Month. I'm so glad that you all are here, the ones who are here with us live, and those of you are here who are here with us on Facebook. I'm your moderator today. I'm Kelly Charles Collins. I'm the founder and CEO of Ladies Who Leverage. I'm also the host of Ladies Who Leverage podcast. And companies hire me. As a retired attorney, companies hire me to keep them on the right side of the next hashtag movement. And I do that by training them on unconscious bias, bystander intervention, and courageous conversations. But today I'm here with my Ladies Who Leverage. And in Ladies Who Leverage, we are a global community of badass women. And what we do is empower each other to leverage our expertise, resources, and relationships to build our business, our brand, and our badassery. And every one of these women that's here, they are all in Ladies Who Leverage, and they're what we call LWL, that's what we say for short, investors, which means that they're in the paid part of our membership group. But they're awesome. I cannot wait to have you meet them. I will introduce each of them at the first time that I ask them a question so that we can get right into it. So today we are going to be talking about women's empowerment and what we call the audacity of badassery. So I came up with the audacity of badassery because I was watching TV and I saw a male, you know, doing his job. And I looked at him and he was so unprepared, but he was there in all his glory. He was unprepared and unbothered. And to me, I was like, that is the audacity of mediocrity, showing up regardless, doing whatever. And it made me think about women and whether or not we do the same thing. And I challenged women to stand in their badassery. So, you know, to really exhibit the audacity of badassery, because we can't show up in mediocrity. So while we get started, what I want everyone to tell me, or who I call on to tell me, is when you hear badassery, what does that mean to you? And I'm going to start with Miss Dr. Renee Baker, and I'm going to ask Renee this question, but let me first introduce Renee to you. So Dr. Renee Baker,
And I want you all to listen to all of the bios of these women. They are amazing, amazing women who you need to follow, who you need to connect with. So Dr. Renee Baker is head of PCG Advisor Inclusion Networks at Raymond James, providing corporate support and leadership for the Women Financial Advisors Network, Black Financial Advisors Network, and Pride Financial Advisors Network. In her role, she focuses on increasing representation of diverse advisors within the firm and the industry as a whole. Working closely with Raymond James, PCG Education and Practice Management, and the firm's head of diversity and inclusion. She also used to be the CMO for Carillon, but you know, that's just a little thing that she was in the C-suite. But Miss Renee, what does badassery mean to you?
So thank you for having me, and I'm just so happy to be here with all you badass ladies who leverage. So being a badass to me is to show up bold, to always be present, and just be audacious. And when I say be audacious, it's about I'm willing to take those risks. I'm willing to show up and throw up and put out all the information that I know, and I'm unapologetic about doing it. And oftentimes we get caught up in what other people say, feel, think, because they want to shrink. When you're bold and audacious, they want to shrink you. And we're not about that. So when I say I'm a badass, that means I'm showing up, I'm throwing up. And even in my worst days, I'm going to get this hair together. I'm going to put this lipstick on and I'm going to show up and let them know that I'm smart, I'm present, and I'm actionable. So that's what that means to me.
I love that. I love it. Show up and throw up. All of it. Love it. So Michelle, let's go to Michelle. So Michelle Craig is the founder and owner of Transcendent Law Group. In her practice, she facilitates effective negotiation, mediation, and resolution of legal matters for small to large companies in the areas of litigation, labor and employment, economic development, transactions, and charter schools. So Michelle, what does badassery mean to you?
So I think we probably will all have a similar definition, right? Because I think we know that showing up as a badass is showing up authentically. It's showing up in a way that inspires not only others, but yourself. It's showing up prepared. And showing up prepared knowing that you know what you know. I think a lot of times we show up totally prepared, totally ready to rock whatever it is, whether it's the courtroom, whether it's the boardroom, but we step back and we shrink. Being a badass is refusing to allow yourself to shrink. And I think we all are capable of the shrinking, right? But it's stepping back in and say, no, I know this. I own this. I own this room. I own this courtroom, and I can do this. I think that's my definition.
I love it because one day I was being interviewed by somebody and they asked me a question. And it's funny that both you and Renee said this word. And I said, I don't shrink. Right. And for me, that was part of it. Like just being a badass that you just don't shrink because that's what people want you to do it in the face of whatever it is they're carrying on with. So Lisa Robb, I'm going to bring you into this one before I move on to something else. So Lisa Robb is a life coach, speaker, and founder of Raining Glitter Coaching, which I just love that name. She's on a mission to create a ripple effect of goodness. Her goal is to impact women all over the world by helping them take their spark and fan it into a flame. She believes that when you win, we all win. And I agree. So Miss Lisa Robb, what do you think about this?
Oh my gosh, I just love this question. And I love these answers. I get so excited about it because I think the name of the game is authenticity, right? It's not about being a square peg and trying to fit in a round hole or vice versa, right? It's about being yourself. And when we present ourselves in a way that is so unique, in a way that only we can do, then really we all win because we're filling a gap that only we were designed to fill, right? That we don't come in shapes like circles and boxes to fit in. We have this unique shape that cannot be labeled, and it's just who we are. And I think when we show up like that authentically, it's a gap that only we can fill. And it does, it's a service for the whole world to show up that way. And that's our responsibility to show up with our strengths and our experiences and use them. That is a powerful thing. Thanks, Kelly.
You're welcome. And Precious, I'm going to come to you on this question. I'm going to change it a little bit. So yes, we all talk about badassery and all of us here say that word without hesitation, but we know that some people are just like, I don't want to hear that word, right? I don't want to be called a badass. But before you answer, Precious, let me introduce you and your badassery. So Precious Williams is also affectionately known as the Killer Pitch Master. She can help you slay all competition with her killer elevator pitches, media pitches, and investor pitches. She is a world-class master communicator who works with successful entrepreneurs and speakers and helps them take their professional pitching and speaking skills to the next level. And she's everywhere. So if y'all don't know Precious, then I don't know what you're doing. She's also, and you'll see why I'm asking her this question. She is also the author of the number one bestseller, Bad Bitches Empower Pitches, for women entrepreneurs and speakers only. So Precious, when you and I met, the way that you and I met was that you were asking for advice on the name of your book. And because you were going to use the word bitches and you were like, I don't know what people think, we're going to think. So when we talk about badassery and we just use that word, you know, just like out loud, like Renee says, showing up and throwing up. How do you feel, or what do you say to people who are resistant to that term and like, no, I don't want to be a badass? What do you say to them?
Well, at the end of the day, like, not every tribe fits your vibe. So if you don't want to be called a bitch, that's you. If you don't want to be called a badass, that's you. But when we talk about badass, I'm talking about the type of women who are trying to come up out the box or break free of everything that's ever held them back, whether it's in their careers, their jobs, their relationships, or whatever. And when I think about badass, and as a 2020 LWL Badass Woman of the Year,
you are.
I feel like it's really like going back to Kelly, unapologetic AF. I don't really trip off of what people say about me anymore. I just want you to respect me. You do not have to like me. And being a badass means that I'm going to go in and do what I have to do regardless. And I remember when I first put that book title out, and for 3 years, I sat on it like, man, they think I'm only saying it for shock value. Man, they only think that. And then I met Sharon Monet, and she was just like, what's the name of the book? She said, that's going to bring people to you because you're speaking to women who maybe afraid, but they want somebody else to do it. And as the great Ty Goodwin, my business coach, always says to me, until you step into your purpose, another woman can't step into hers. So when I stepped into truly being a badass, that it took the floodgates. And I was like, we're doing this now. I don't care. I don't care what people say about the very people who said they wouldn't buy from me secretly were in my text messages. I did buy it. You know, I just want to see. Oh, I thought it was Urban Lit. I kind of was hoping it might be, you know, so look, but no, it was really, really good. And I said, yeah. It had to be, you know, it was a business book, and things came out of that I never thought. Being a badass means there are no guarantees, but that doesn't stop me from trying in the first place. I never thought that writing a book called Bad Bitches and Power Pitches would get me to where I am today. And I've never had a company, whether it's top of the Fortune 500, most of all, who's ever said, you know what, we're not gonna buy your book because of the title. Never had that happen. And so I say to all of my badasses here tonight, you know, embrace it. And remember, at the end of the day, they're going to talk about you anyway. Might as well give them a show.
Give them a show. So Pamela, I'm going to bring you in on that one. How would you respond to people? But let me first introduce you. Pamela Burkett Jones is a certified career strategy coach, consultant, trainer, and college professor dedicated to assisting individuals during career transitioning, reach their highest potential in their professional and private lives, as they move from being functional to optimal. I love that. She's the executive director and founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. She's also the author of Handle With Care, 7 Essentials to Prepare, Pack, and Propel for a Career Transition. So Pamela, all of that to me is like, let's get our badass on. So if you have somebody who is like resistant around, you know, the term or being called a badass, what would you say to them to get them just right in the spirit? Maybe they don't want to use the word badass, but how do you get them into being into the spirit of badassery?
Well, I asked them to have them to look at badassery. It's actually empowering in itself, that word. It grabs attention. It should get that person motivated to do, to own it. Definitely own it in their space and not allow anybody to shrink them down from what they want to do, what they want, where they are now and where they want to go. And just being a badass, say, hey, I can do it. No one can stop me. You know, just eat my, you know, just eat it and just allow me to be who I want to be and who I'm destined to be. And that's what I say about owning that badassery. And it's definitely an empowerment statement.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask for you all to raise your hand if you have ever experienced, so we're talking about our badassery and being authentic and being in our spaces, but sometimes we're in spaces where people don't really like all that, right? So if you've ever experienced bias, oppression, discrimination, any kind of dehumanization because of, you know, just showing up like who you are, raise your hand for me, right? We've all experienced that. So I was in, I was being interviewed for a podcast the other day, and we were talking about that, you know, being, you know, discriminated against or having, you know, people being subjected to bias. And the question that was asked of me, and I'm paraphrasing, the question that was asked was, why didn't I leave? Right? So why didn't I leave those spaces? So I'm going to say this to Natasha, because Natasha, Dr. Natasha, as I will introduce her, is in STEM, right? So that's kind of a male-dominated area. So I want to put this to you first, Dr. Natasha. So Dr. Natasha Anderson is a mechanical engineer. She's smart. She's really, really smart. Is a mechanical engineer turned award-winning STEM educator and STEM advocate. She's a STEM leadership consultant and dynamic and informative in-demand STEM motivational speaker. She is the podcast host. I think it's Stemming in Stilettos. See, I tell y'all badass, right? Who does science and heels and science and math and technology and all that? See, Dr. Natasha does that. And she's also an author. So Natasha, tell me, you know, if you've ever experienced that, but why didn't you, if you experienced that, why didn't you leave that space? Or if you did, tell me why you left that space.
So this is a complicated question at best. So I'll answer, I think if we go back to what I believe the definition of badassery is, it's all about loving yourself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all, I mean, being accepting of yourself, being, you know, it's like, you know, your faults, you know, what you excel at, you know, the quirkiness, you know, all of that stuff. And then coming to an acceptance of, this is who I am. And then when you show up places, you can bring your whole full self there and do whatever it is you're going to do. Cause you know, your quirkiness, you know, that you can talk about math 24, you know, all of the, that stuff. Right. And can't nobody tell you anything about yourself that you don't already know. So when you show up, it's like, okay, it's on. That's it. So that question is complicated because it depends upon where you are in your career. Because I know when I was 23, 24, 32, I didn't know who I was. I didn't understand all of this stuff. You know, I was still in the process of becoming, I'm still in the process of becoming, but I was really in the midst of it. I'm a wife, I'm a new mother. I'm trying to do all the things. And so people are trying to tell me who they think I am. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I am that. Well, maybe I am this, until it got to a point to where it started to feel like I was being inauthentic when I showed up places because I didn't know who I was. And so when I got to the point where, like, wait a minute, let me figure me out. So when you say to me, hey, Natasha, this is who you are, I can be like, buddy, no, that's not me. And you're not going to get anything else. So now I'm at a point to where if I'm at a place and it doesn't feel right, or I know, like, yeah, this is not going to work, I'm out. I'm out. And so that's that. That is that on that, as my daughter likes to say.
That's that on that. Ty Goodwin, I want to bring you into this one. So Ty Goodwin is the CEO of the Momentum Agency and the creator of Quiz and Grow Rich. She's an award-winning instructional designer with 20 plus years of experience creating learning solutions for Fortune 500 companies like Barnes & Noble and tech startups like LeadPages. So Ty, I was asked that question, like, why didn't you leave? And I'll tell y'all what I said, but why, if somebody, if somebody was really testing your badassery, right? And you were experiencing bias, this is what I call it, bias, bullshit, and badassery, right? So if you were experiencing that, why if in that time did you leave or why didn't you leave?
I left.
Okay.
And I've left multiple times. You know, the first time was when I was at a Fortune 500 company. And I told them, I said, it is really not fair for you to ask me to become dysfunctional in order to work here. And I walked out that day. And when I came back the next week, now I didn't just like quit then. But when I came back the next day, they were like, we didn't think you were going to come back. We were worried that we had lost you. And I'm like, no, but, you know, I'm going to share and speak. And it was heartbreaking because it was what I thought was going to be my dream job. And I ended up leaving, you know, that space. And the last time I was in a similar situation where, you know, I told the folks there, I said, you know, if I looked a little bit different, and by me looking different, I mean, if my skin was a different color and, you know, I had male body parts, you know, we'd be having different conversations about my career. And so they gave me this really, really crazy job, you know, thing. They were like, well, we don't know what the position is going to be called anymore. Do you want to stay? Like, no, what are you crazy? Like, I'm not going to put, like, you really think I'm going to put that on LinkedIn? Like this new crazy title that they were making up. And so my comment to them was, would you like me to leave this Friday or in 2 Fridays? Cause I can do either or. And that was the first time in my adult life where I ever like walked away and I did not have a job lined up. I did not have a business on the side because I was, while I was there, I couldn't have a second business. I didn't even have a resume, Kelly, but I was like, yeah, this is not for me. And I walked away. And, you know, after being in those same kind of corporate environments, it was always the same thing. I was always the youngest person in the room. I was always usually the only person of color in the space. And, you know, this was 3 years ago. My last time I was fully employed, I say I'm happily unemployed for 3 years now. But I chose to walk. You know, I always chose to go and do something else because I know what I bring to the table. I know that in almost every situation I've been in, I've always outworked every single person, you know, and it wasn't always easy, especially when somebody, well, you got a good job and, you know, yeah, it can look good. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always feel good. And, you know, when I think of badassery to kind of like tie back into what we were talking about in the beginning is, you know, badasses make their own rules, right? And the rules for me say that I don't have to stay in a six-figure job if you're treating me like crap, right? But we get to make our own rules. And I think that's the essence and the audacity of being a badass is that you can look at a situation and it doesn't mean that you're throwing everything to the wind. It doesn't mean that you're doing things haphazardly because you can be strategic about it, mm-hmm. but you know your worth and you make decisions based on that.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you all say that because both of you talked about leaving. And when I was asked the question, she said, why don't you leave? Why didn't you leave? I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Right. Because for me, then I was giving them power over me to make a decision about what was going to happen in my life and my career. And so I would not relinquish my power. So that was my take on it. So I love what you all are saying. And I think that that's the thing for us to take out of all of this. When we're talking about badassery, it is different for everyone, right? How you show up in it, but it all goes back to who you are inside and what you believe in. And so as we're talking about this and we're talking about like leaving or staying or showing up and throwing up, one of the things that comes to mind is that we have women who are not maybe as bold and as loud and as, you know, out there as we are. We have people who are introverts and we have people who are extroverts. Like some of, you know, many of us are. I'm actually an ambivert. Right? I'm actually an ambivert. So in this situation like this, I am an extrovert. Put me in a room to network, like as a network, you'll find me trying to find the exit because I'm an introvert in those situations. So when we're talking about badassery, and Lisa, Rob, I want to bring you in on this. When we're talking about badassery, if somebody is an introvert, what advice would you give to them about how they can still show up and show out, or show up and throw up being an introvert?
Oh my goodness. That is such a good question, because so many of the women that I work with are actually introverts. And it is so important to know that just because you're an introvert, did we lose Kelly?
No.
Oh, you just flipped spaces on me. There you are. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you don't have something to say, right? Like, you still have a voice. So being an introvert being an introvert and being a badass are not like exclusionary. You can be a badass introvert for sure, because you have a voice, you have something to say, and the way you choose to say that is all you. You don't have to fit a mold. If you want to be an introvert, great, right? Write a book about it, do it your way. It's all about being authentic. That is, so it goes back to that, right? But you can be introverted for sure and be a badass, be authentic to who you are and stand in your truth. Do it your way. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, I love all of you guys. This energy is what?
Renee. Renee, I want to bring you in on this, because Renee, if y'all know Renee, okay, please follow Renee on Instagram. Please, you will thank me later. Please follow her on Instagram. But Renee, I want to talk to you about this one, about being introverted versus extroverted. Or if you're an ambivert like me, how is it that you show up and you show out every single day?
Well, you know, I think I've heard before, like, everyone is different. And what I love about introverts is kind of like their self. I love a badass ninja. A underground woman who's getting it done, who doesn't show up and throw up, they just show up, right? So that magic, that underground queen magic, that is the real power. So while we are the extroverts in the world, we're out here talking about it, we're out here talking about all the stuff we're doing, the introverts, they're just showing up quietly, moving. That's kind of like a law. You heard of the 48 laws of power? This is the 49th law of power. Is you are just showing up. So I'm not mad at an introvert. I'm not mad at those individuals that's like quietly just executing, because it's really not about, you can be bold and show up, but you can be bold, brilliant, and quiet and still be a badass. So I do give my favor to the introverts. I'm kind of like, I can be like you, Kelly. I show up in a networking opportunity, but I do a lot of things underground. You won't see me throwing up until it's done. And you're like, what you did? Like, quietly. So I do respect that. And I do think, because we want to respect everybody's differences. Everyone is different, but there's space for everybody. Yeah. So that's what I would say to that.
Can I think
something here?
Yeah. So, go ahead, Natasha.
So I'm an introvert, a proud introvert. And what I want people to know about introverts is that it's about how you get energy. So some people get energy from other people. They draw it in, you know, and they do that. Introverts get energy from themselves. we pull from ourselves, from our inner selves. So the approach is different. Right. And I agree with Renee when she's saying that it doesn't mean that we're not bold, that we don't show up, that we're not brilliant. It's the approach is different. And so badassery looks different. I wrote down the badass ninja. Okay. Can I use that? Because that's going to end up on somebody's, probably on my podcast
that's
tomorrow.
That's yours. You own it. That's yours.
Okay. Got it. Because I think that being an introvert, people assume that we're the quiet, mousy people in the corner. That's not a true representation of who we are. Again, we have to gather ourselves before we go in. So think about the girl or the woman who's always like, you know, she's quiet for a minute, but then you ask her a question. Oh, and she's on, right? It's like the light switch came on and she's ready to go. It's like me getting on a stage, right? Me being in a classroom, it's like you in the car ride, I have my headphones on. I'm probably not going to talk to you.
But as soon as I hit that building, it's on. And that's how we do things. And so your badassery just looks like what you look like. So it is, it, all of us are different here and we're all badasses. It just looks different on each one of us.
That's awesome. I'm glad you jumped in on that. And so listen, Renee, you have started a whole nother thing. So I need you to go on there and protect. Somebody needs to protect. Don't y'all steal this. Protect badass ninja for Natasha. Cause somebody says, she said badass ninja. I can't today. And then somebody says, Renee stealth ninja. Yes, I'm here for it. Bold, brilliant, and quiet. As an introvert, that title badass ninja is now my favorite. Thanks, Renee. And great points, Natasha. So they love badass ninja. So somebody go protect it, please, for Natasha. So, you know, the thing about introverts, too, is that they will be underestimated. Right. So people think, so when you're saying, you know, they come in like the badass ninja, they are underestimated when they show up in spaces. And so, you know, don't sleep on them. Right. Don't sleep on them. So Precious, did you want to jump in on that one? You're on mute, hon.
No. I wanted to jump in a while ago when I first met Dr. Tasha.
Okay, go ahead.
Dr. Tasha, remember that? I was speaking at Spelman College, and so I was flown down by the Alumni Association, and I was put up at this hotel, and, you know, I'm getting ready to meet Dr. Tasha. It's the first time meeting each other. We only know each other online, and I think she got a little lost trying to get there, but I saw the badassness immediately, like, don't sleep on Dr. Tasha. So we were in the hotel room, just kicking it, acting a fool, you know, getting some victuals, some food and everything.
She said victuals.
We had a good time.
And I was like, I like her already. That's my kind of thing right there. You remember Dr. Tasha?
No, I can't forget that. It was a monumental meeting. And I walked away, honestly, it's like, so Precious can be intimidating just a bit, right? I don't mean it like,
not, you know, negatively.
Right. Not negatively, but because she is so big, and she owns all of it. And I was so like, whoa. Right. So, but after it, I was just like, what? Sorry. But I just said, well, goddamn. Right. You know, there's a part of me that was like, I want to be like her. No, seriously. I was like, I want to be like her. Like, I want to own that piece of her. That owns every piece of who she is. And so that has been, honestly, that's been my work. And so I feel like I'm stepping more into that as the older I get and the more I'm, you know, this is me.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that meeting for way more reasons than all of the stuff, because we talked about a whole lot.
But the reason I was bringing it up, Kelly, and all my LWL sisters, is because when we met, what I didn't tell Natasha at the time is I was so nervous. Like, you know, yeah, I have a lot of energy out there, but this is my first time going back to speak at Spelman and Morehouse. And, you know, there was a little grief about the title of my book. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I finally came and got me and I went down to, you know, Spelman and Morehouse for the professional development symposium, I had my books, right? And then they had me in a special room and, you know, everybody was coming through and I'm sitting there like this. Am I going to say the title of this book? This is a badass moment. Like, am I just going, like, I'm from Spelman, I'm at Spelman, I'm in Cosby. This is the building I got my English degree out of. And, you know, I'm talking and I say, you know what? I'm just going to go in with the title of my book. I'm going to say what I'm going to say and it's just going to be what it is. So I'm saying it. And when I tell you, it was like women and men were just like, and I was saying it, and you know, I'm just going in, and like after they're like, "What a book yet? Can I get the book?" I was like, "Nah, I know. If the president had been here, this would be a totally different situation." But they were loving it, and that's when I decided that no matter where I go, if people don't want the title or don't want the book, I probably can't be there. Another thing that happened is that's where I met a big time executive at the Federal Reserve Bank. She didn't care about the book. She was like, yeah, we're going to get that. We want to book you. Yeah, we're going to book you for this and that or whatever, Four Seasons. And I'm like, I ain't never been to Four Seasons in my life, but I'm going to act like this is the normal thing because, you know, I'm supposed to be badass. You know what I'm saying? Act like this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's why I said, like, when I met you, Dr. Tasha, you were badass from the beginning. And yes, we have different personalities. And as I watch you grow, because when we met, it was like, you know, should we be client coach, whatever. And watching you grow has just been amazing. And in the beginning, you're like, should I get out there? I'm like, get out there, let them know, thug it out, Kanye West on them, get it, give it to them. Cause they need to know you're an engineer. I can't say an engineer. I can't even say I'm an attorney anymore. I can just say.
Yes, you can. You'll always be an attorney. You may not be licensed, but you're always an attorney.
Flexing, stemming them stilettos, flexing them stilettos.
Yeah. Flex. And Precious, what you just described, what both you and Dr. Tasha just described, I want to talk about with Michelle and Pamela, Michelle and Ty. I want to talk to you about this. Because sometimes, so we're talking about badassery and we're talking about our role, right, in owning our power and showing up. But there's also a role that the women around us play in being able to be that badass and being able to be comfortable. So Michelle, in your, when you think about that, what role has women played with you in helping you to be a badass?
So it's interesting. I mean, there's of course two roles, right? There's the role that does not help because I don't feel the camaraderie and I don't feel like I can be myself. And I think, and I will say I didn't, right? Because I think the older you get, the more you find women who are like you, like your tribe. If you do not feel authentic in your tribe, if nowhere else, then you need a new tribe, right? So as I've gotten older in both my professional world and my personal world, my tribe have all been badasses in their respective fields. And I did write that down. Actually, I was like, in order to really flex your badass muscle, you have to play with people who play like you. Like if you are not playing with people who take those chances, who are not afraid, or who will tell you when they are afraid and still do it, then you won't see it. And you can't be what you don't see. We know that from our children. And that's why we put ourselves in front of them in a way that they can see badass women. They see STEM and stilettos. They see power pitches. They see it all. So they know that you can do this. And it's the same way as grown women. We have to see what we want to be. And I see that in my tribe. And that's definitely one of the things that makes the difference for me. Because there are days when real badass Michelle's out there, and there are days when badass Michelle is just kind of tiptoeing out there, and eventually you need those people who are in your corner saying, no, get out there, girl, you've got this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Ty, what about you?
Yeah, this is an interesting question for me. When I grew up, I didn't feel like I had a lot of support from other women. And that had been, from being in the second grade and being put in the fifth grade class and everybody being mad at me, right? And then being the smart and being the nerd and, you talk white, all those things that I got from the women that were around me. But at one point I made a decision and I asked for what I wanted. And I didn't ask anybody else, but it was more of a spiritual thing. And I said, I want to be surrounded by women who are generous and who are bold and who will sow into me. And I think that made a huge difference because I started meeting these amazing, wise women from all different, backgrounds that were able to sow into me. But I had to woman up and ask for it. And I had to not play like the victim. And I had to let go of that, what if they don't like me and I don't fit in here? Badassery, right? Listen, I am who I am and I get to ask the universe for what I want. And when I asked, the women showed up. And so at this point in my life, it's like Dr. Michelle was saying, you start to find and attract people that are like you. I think as we come more into ourselves, our light attracts light. Mm-hmm. My favorite word is brilliant. Precious knows this. My favorite word is brilliant. And I think when we show up in our brilliance, we begin to attract, not only reflect, but we attract more brilliance into our space. And when I stepped into that and I asked that way in droves, I am surrounded now by women. Look at this panel. Right. Look at the beauty and the greatness and the energy of this group. And everywhere I go, I am surrounded by that to the point where when somebody says that, you know, that whole thing about women don't like to work together, I'm like, who are you talking to? Right? Everywhere I go, you know, women are generous. Women are sewing into each other. They are gracious. And so hold that mentality and watch what shows up in your life.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's what you put out into the world, because mm-hmm. self-fulfilling prophecies are a real thing, right? And so we will show up as who we believe that we are, and what, and when we show up that way, the universe will bring those things to you. So if you show up in a space thinking, you know, you're not good enough or whatever, a lot of that is going to come back to you, because that's the way you're showing up for other people. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But Pamela, I want to bring you in on this one, the role that women play, and anybody else who wants to chime in on this one to just raise your hand and let me know. But what role does, you know, do women play in this whole thing about being, you know, helping you to be a badass and being able to show up in spaces?
Now, for me, they play a few, that's the fuel. And that's what actually gets you going. And definitely with Dr. Michelle and Ty, they pretty much said it. So I will actually add on to what they say is the fuel and support that the women allow you and bring you back up and just give you that momentum to really stay in your badassery and to keep moving and to go further. So for me, it's definitely where they help you along to continue. And I'll be transparent. I really did not, until I became an entrepreneur a couple of years ago, I really did not lean onto my woman power, you know, of other women until I got into this space. Before, when I was in the working world, the 9 to 5, I was pretty much on my own, doing my own thing. But now when I get to this space, I really realize how much I need it. And ladies, that leverage just come through of some of the women I've met being a part of this group.
Yeah, I love
definitely
that.
Say that.
And I think some of us, I know that when I was younger, I was a tomboy. I didn't hang around girls. I was like, when I was in high school, I used to wear lumberjacks, boots, corduroy jeans, and be on the wall with the boys. That was that was my whole existence, was to hang out with the boys. So, you know, but it is really important. Go ahead, Renee. I see that you want to jump in. Go ahead.
I just want to say, I just love what I'm hearing about women. I think it's more about collaboration versus competition. And, you know, when women come together, there's nothing that we can't do. And I've always like just tapped into women, and I'm a girly girl, extreme, extra AF. And women sometimes, you know, growing up, it wasn't always that way, but it never doubted my faith in women. I just had to find a new tribe. Like Precious said, every tribe is not your vibe. So I just kept finding and looking at women, because what I know for sure is on those down days, I can pick up the phone. I know I've done that with you, Kelly. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. And you're like, get out there. And I just think that it's power in all of us. So we just continue to leverage that. And I do believe collaboration over competition any day, and we can conquer all of this.
Yep. And like we say in Ladies Who Leverage, right? We don't compete. We collabosource. Our word is collabosource is our word for collaboration. And it's funny because when I met Renee, it was almost like we were kindred spirits. It was like we could feel each other in this space that we were in, and we just connected from the very beginning. We just connected for some reason, and it's been on since then. And that's the thing, right? To find women who will support you, who when it's time for you to cry, they'll listen. When it's time to celebrate you, they'll celebrate you. When it's time to correct you, they'll lovingly correct you, right? So it's not always about just rah, 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 right? Sometimes you have to be like, sis, that's not it, right? And that's all part of being empowering. That's all part of helping us to stand in our badassery. So we talked a little bit about, you know, when I said, you know, not showing up and not being good enough or you know, stuff like that. And we hear a lot about imposter syndrome. I have my thoughts around imposter syndrome, but I want you all to talk about, how does imposter syndrome play into badassery? What is the connection? What is the disconnect between, you know, claiming imposter syndrome or having imposter syndrome and, you know, being a badass? And can they coexist? I'm going to go to Precious.
Huh? Yeah. Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they can coexist. I don't really like, I don't know why I don't really get with imposter syndrome. I don't think I feel like an imposter. I feel like, you know, when I was coming up in the game, and I just want to say this before I answer that question, I really want to thank Ty Goodwin from way back in the day, because we go way back like beans and cornbread. We go back to, I was coming out of a dark situation, and you know, she just took me under her wing, like, you're going to get it together. And I'm like, really, really? She's telling me things for 2 or 3 years. I'm like, I just now see it, right? I don't think that was imposter syndrome. I just needed to grow into me and just being like, and not having the fear anymore of what is she going to say? What is he going to say? What is Microsoft going to say? What is Google? Like, I'm going to show up as I am, and I'm just going to make you deal with it. It's like when we look at a Mark Zuckerberg, if he comes in with a hoodie or whatever, who's saying something? Nobody, nobody, nobody. If comes in with the black turtleneck and all of that, no one says anything. Mm-hmm. So I want to walk in the fullness and the freedom of, if I want to come in with a bright purple wig, if I want to come in with rose gold hair today, if I want to change my underwear, like, and hair, that's what I'm going to do. The thing is, not everybody can take it though. Not everybody can take your shine. Not everybody can take your talent. Not everybody can take how big and how bright you are. And so to go back with I believe Renee said this, like, I really have to go to where I'm celebrated and not tolerated. Some people will keep you around, you showing a little buzz. They like, okay, that's cute, but she's shining a little bit too bright over here. And you can't put Precious in a corner. So I just got to creep on over here to this network where
I'm shining. Nobody put Baby in a corner.
Mm-mm, so you can't put Precious in a corner. So what I'm really saying is, so I don't really go with the imposter syndrome. I think sometimes we just need to grow into who we are, and it takes time, and it's a process. Yes, I know people love to talk about imposter syndrome. It's everywhere. Like, lots of coaches are talking about it. And when it gets to the point where it's hit critical mass, I don't think it means anything anymore. And so just like all of us, when we're coaches, we're teaching and whatever, let's not subscribe to what everybody else is talking about. We can talk about it and use different language and use different words that are really emotionally resonant to people. So I can't subscribe to imposter syndrome. I can just say there were times I felt less than. Walking out of the Bowery Mission, I felt less than. I wasn't, but I felt less than. And it took time for me to grow into seeing what Ty saw in me, to see what Kelly saw in me, to see what Dr. Tasha saw in me, to see what Pamela saw in me. You know, it took time. And I just want to thank all the women here. Pamela, me and you have been in the same podcast group for the longest. And it meant everything that you bought my books. And I think you thought I was lying when I said, I'm going to get your books. And I was on live like, what up? I got two. What's good?
Right, and you bought two of mine.
And just showing love or, you know, for Dr. Tasha, you know, I got your books. You thought I was playing? Okay, that's what we doing. Okay. And just being like showing love in that way. Like, women, we hold the key to so much for each other. And, you know, can we be competitive? We can, but we can collaborate and get so much further.
Yeah.
And my badassness does not have to take away from her badassness. If you're an introvert, be that quiet storm and kill the game. I'm just going to shut up when you talk, because that's all I can do. You know, quiet storm is talking.
Yeah. And I think it's so important that, you know, I always say you are what you answer to, not what you're called, right? So if you answer to, you know, imposter syndrome, to me, you know, that's, again, a self-fulfilling prophecy. We all are afraid sometimes, right? But that doesn't mean that we're a fraud, right? And that's what imposter syndrome says. And that's why for me, it has this tinge of like, no, don't do that, because you're saying that you're a fraud. No, we're afraid, right? We all get scared. And when you get scared, that's your body, that's your mind, that's something telling you like, yes, right? Do it scared. Right. So sometimes we have to do that. Natasha, I want to bring you in because, you know, you were talking about being an introvert. And I think sometimes we introverts, I think, lean in a bit to imposter syndrome. So I want to hear what your thoughts are around that and how that plays in with, you know, still being able to stand up and be a badass.
Well, so this is weird for me, only because I don't know. I'm kind of like you in the sense that I'm not sure that I've ever really bought into what it is. Now, have I been in situations where I was like, I don't know about this, especially being a Black woman in STEM. I've been in rooms where there was nobody who looked like me, and you could tell from the environment that they weren't too welcoming. It was like, why is she here? And I could tell story after story after story of me having to say, hey, I am, I'm the engineer of record for your project, or I'm the, you know, having to really, and then having them test me to make sure that I knew what I knew, right? So that can sort of give you a complex if you let it. But what kept coming back to me was, and all those time was, is that I just know what I know. And I've always gone back to that, where I just know what I know, right? Whatever that little bit is, or that lot of thing is, that's what I know. And that's what I have to offer. And at some point, it ceased to matter to me whether you thought that was good enough or not. I had to come to the decision that it was good enough for me. And so if I can walk out of a room, I'd be like, oh man, I messed that up, right? Then I have to own that. But I couldn't, it was never a matter of, I don't think I'm good enough. You know, it was always, this is what I know. And I have to go, I mean, my parents paid a lot of money for this degree, right? For all these degrees and that first degree anyway, and these two other ones, like I'm gonna know what I know. So when I show up these days, and even back then when I was going through all of this, it was, I know what I know, and I'm not gonna let you tell me what it is you think I know. It was so, and it's so funny, we're talking about this on a professional sense when we were talking about engineering or education, I'm on it. Now, if you were gonna ask me about Natasha, then we delve into this whole other thing that would happen. But after a while now, it's like, listen, you get what you get when I show up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can I chime in, Kelly?
Yeah.
You know, I think I've started flipping this whole idea of imposter syndrome, because what I see more of is us being imposters when we're not showing up in our full brilliance, right? We're playing small. Right. I don't want them to know, like, you know, I don't want anybody to be offended. So I'm not going to show up, and I'm not going to say what I want to say. I'm going to be really quiet. That's being an imposter. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the real syndrome that we need to learn to let go of, because when we don't show up, we're not getting to the people that we need to get to, the people that are waiting for us to show up. Precious said it earlier. Like I always say, you know, there are people who can't step into their purpose until you step into yours. So if you're not showing up, that ripple effect of you not being who you are is huge, just like the ripple effect of you showing up and being authentically brilliant is amazing.
Yeah. And I think we see that in the group, right? That when women are showing up in the group, it pushes other women to be like, oh, I can do that. You may think that, you know, you could not have accomplished that, or, you know, no, I can't start this. Oh, I can't switch into that. And then you see all these women doing stuff and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Right. And if we don't, right, if we don't show up in those spaces, then other women can't see us. I remember at the beginning, and Lisa, I'm going to bring you in on this whole imposter syndrome, but there in the beginning of the group, like several months ago, I had someone ask me, you know, I don't want to post. I don't want to post the stuff in there because it seems like I'm bragging or I'm boasting. And I was like, no, you have to post those things, because that is what gives the other women fuel to be able to know that they can do it. So whatever it is that they are doing, whatever they're striving for or trying to be successful in, when you show that you have stepped out, when you show that you've owned your power and that you're unapologetically living your life, then that gives other women the fuel and the fire to do that. And Lisa, I know that you coach a lot of women, and I'm sure this issue comes up a lot. So how do you deal with that? How do you talk to women, you know, who are just embracing this whole thing, which I think was created by a man, but anyway, embracing to get us to just one other thing that, you know, we can say negative about ourselves. But yeah. What do you think, how do you help women, you know, move through that, and like Ty says, kind of flip it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I'm seriously on the edge of my seat. Like,
I know that's why I was coming to
you. I'm about to fall down, because this is, this is so great. I love all of the ideas and the energy. I feel like I'm going to explode, really, because it's just crazy. So I think that when it comes to this idea that we have a choice, and that choice is super powerful. And I found myself in this exact situation one night. It was late at night, and I was obsessively checking my email because I had applied to speak at a symposium that I really wanted to speak at. It was for women's leadership and it just felt like the perfect audience and I really wanted that. So I was obsessively checking my email. And as I did that, I got an email from another coach. And I read her email and you guys, it was brilliant. I mean, her pictures were perfect. Her copy was great. Everything about it was great. And I really started to feel like, oh my gosh, what have I even done? And I started to feel bad, but then a miracle happened. And that miracle was I stood up and I put my, and I was like, no, I choose inspiration. And I was by myself and I was like, no, that's not how this is going to go down. If there is another coach that is writing brilliant copy and has brilliant pictures, I have a choice. I can either decide to look at myself and compare what we're doing, or I can look at her as inspiration. Like, thank goodness there are people like her that are doing what she is born to do. Mm-hmm. And she is showing up so fully and she's so passionate about what she is putting out into the world. And I choose inspiration. And you know what? It's a choice that each of us have to make. We can choose to be competitive, or we can choose to look at our competition in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. When I was looking at who is my competition, I started looking at fear, anxiety, right? These are the things that are my competition. And every one of you is like a partner in crime that I'm locking arms with. And we're like, these things are not going to stand a chance, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have work to do and we don't have time for all of that, right? So we are going to choose inspiration. And when we choose inspiration, that is so, because it gives us space to be bigger, right? Yeah. We don't have to shrink because we are here like clapping and putting our hands up. And when I see the things that people are doing, you are so right, Kelly. Like when I see the things that people are doing and I can cheer for them in a way that I really feel good about it, it gives myself permission to be bigger.
Yeah.
Right. Like when I'm, man, I was listening to a podcast that Precious did an interview the other day. And I was like, what? I ran faster. I was out for a run when I was running faster. I had to stop running and send her a text because I was like, this is insane. Like I needed this today. Yeah. It was so great. So, oh, I'm so excited. I love it. I'm so sorry. I gotta no. stop myself.
I love it. No, I love it. And, you know, and so we're saying, you know, don't compete. So, you know, we don't compete. We collaborate. And you may hear, and some people may think, well, you know, that's just crazy because, you know, if I'm a coach and Lisa, you're a coach, then there is a natural competition, right, for business. But when we're talking about competing in that way, Renee, I want to bring you in on this. When we're talking about competing, there is a way to compete and there's a way to compete, right? And so for you, explain, like, what is the distinction? Because yes, we are all in business. And so we are competing for business. But when we talk about, like, we don't compete, we collaborate, what does that mean for you?
So I always think about the competition as a way to make me better, right? And while I'm in competition every day with this Renee versus Renee, and I'm trying to just get better every day. That's like one of the things I say, I'm trying to get better every day. But when I look to see what other people are doing, I'm really there for inspiration. Like Lisa said, I'm choosing to be inspired by them. If you run faster, then that inspires me to catch up and try to run fast. And you're like, come on, girl. If you got the hot pictures, I'm like, yo, who is your photographer? So like your hair is hot, like, give me a call. Like, who is doing that? Your copy is good. Who are you? Like, how are you doing that? I see competition as a way to learn from each other. And I do think it's a special place in hell for people who don't help people, but that's a whole different topic for another panel. So whenever you want to get that, call me.
Okay.
But the thing is, we have to help each other. So I look at it as when you say collaborate, it is because we all are seeking inspiration from each other. So I'm all for it. It's enough success for all of us. It's enough shine for all of us. If you run fast, I'm that way I can chase you and then I'm picking up my game too. So I do see it as a source of inspiration and it's never hate. It's always collaborate. How about that?
We like that. We like that. What about Pamela? What do you think about that?
Well, what I think about it as far as it's not competition, it's more momentum.
Mm. Oh, working, I like that.
It's more momentum. The work and seeing Kelly do her thing is showing me, hey, it could be done. So let me get my steam so I could call Lisa and say, Lisa, you know, do you know a person that does this? I call Preston and say, Preston, who can you talk to? Or who do you know could help me? And I call Ty, I said, Ty, can you give me a couple quiz questions that I can put on my website to build up my lead magnet? It's just bring it all together. And there's enough business out here for everyone. It's just so many people out here in the world, and we do not have to compete, and we do not have to hide, and we do not have to get in our way and just talk, belittle each other just because we think that that person's going to get ahead of us. We could just, and then collaborating is we can get on the same stage. Precious, she does the pitches. I help you get to, you know, where you want to go in your career. So Precious teach you how to do the pitch. You go talk in front of the person and her pitch will get you in the door of seeing someone else. So I look at it as we can work together. We can go on the same stage. We can have things like this. And then everybody can pick out who they want to work with to help them go in their direction. And that's the way I feel about it.
And I always think about, too, that not everybody is your client, right? And you don't want to work with everybody, and everybody doesn't want to work with you. So I could be a coach and Michelle could be a coach, but we might not be the right coach for the same people, right? And so when we're in those spaces, you know, we have to operate from a place of abundance and not scarcity. And when you do that, you will say, well, I'm not the right coach for you. Like I had somebody called me from Ladies Who Leverage and they were talking to me. I was like, not me, right? Not me, I'm not the person, but I know the person for you, right? Here is that person. You don't lose anything, right? By saying to other people here, like, please go to that person, because that person will then remember that you didn't just say, okay, yeah, sure, I can do that. I can show you how to, you know, do that. And you have no idea. But you were open enough and badass enough to say, listen, not my wheelhouse, right? Let me send you over here. I want to read some of the things in the chat, because one of the other things that I know is that when we show up, so, you know, Ty was saying you do a disservice when you don't show up. When we show up and we speak up and we say things, you never know how it's going to impact anyone. The first, what's the tea that we did, I received a message on LinkedIn from a woman who was like, listen, I have two small children, but I was rewinding this thing and watching it like three times because of what was being said. And, you know, she really needed it. She said, thank you. And then she was sharing it and saying, you know, y'all need to go watch the rest of them. So it's really important that we continue to say those things, you know, to speak up. And so many comments have been coming in. I know there's some on Facebook too. So I want to just tell you a couple of these things that are in here. So somebody says, as an aspiring badass, I'm inspired and taking notes. Thank you, ladies. Badassery means doing it scared and keep going. What Ty is saying about deciding who you want to be surrounded by is perfect. I had a very small group of female friends, but I was never much of a girl. But this supportive group is very different than any other place I've ever been. This is the first group of women where I felt I truly wanted to be and was completely welcomed. I'm wearing jewelry and makeup now as a direct result of my interactions with you. So you see, like, when women really support other women, you would think that maybe that's not something major, but when you show up, now you start to show up differently, right? And you help each other do that. Ty and Precious keep me moving forward. Sometimes I have to remember who the hell I am. Usually when I'm around people I perceive as more powerful than me, and I have to stop and remember. Let's see what else. There's no shortage of abundance. Thanks for sharing your messages. So we do make a difference when you show up. And so that's why it's so, so very important for us to keep doing that. Now, I want to know, so we all in this space right now have really stepped into our badassery. But what was the biggest challenge that you had in coming to this place? And I'm going to start with Precious. What was the biggest challenge you had in really being able to stand in your power?
I think my biggest challenge is my past mistakes. and thinking that everyone would assume that who I used to be is who I am today. And it took a lot of talking to, it took a lot of hand-holding from Ty, right, Ty? It took a lot of love. It took a lot of support. And honestly, I'm not trying to get emotional, but I remember just feeling like, who am I to think that I could come back with a vengeance? Who am I to be the Beyonce of my life? Who am I to be given a second chance, especially when bigger people, bigger VIP people have already kicked me to the curb? In spaces where a lot of people look like me, I often felt like, because I had fallen so far, like people were repelled by me, like, oh, I don't want to associate, I don't want to do this. And then finally hearing Ty, but also just hearing God say, just do it my way. Mm. I will make your enemies your footstools. I will make your doubters into believers, but I need you to believe that everything I took you through has a purpose. So when I went through the darkest moments of my life, I didn't realize that he was ridding me of all the Klingons, all the people that meant me harm from the very beginning. And so going through that experience, I remember walking with my head down in Harlem, just all the time, just like, I don't want people to see me. I don't want to be seen, to walking out one day. It'd been a while since I'd been in Harlem. I walked up and I looked up and my head was high. And it wasn't this, don't nobody look at me. It was so high that I immediately cried, because I can't believe I'm looking up. Like, if someone sees me, if they're thinking about who I used to be, that's not who I am. That's who I used to be. And I put her to bed. And I remember going and doing a LinkedIn Live and a Facebook Live. I said, I'm not the sum total of my mistakes. I'm not. And when I had to let go of those mistakes and just realize that being a badass is like, just like the people in the Bible, they were flawed. And yet they did some freaking extraordinary for others. And so with everything that has happened and everything that I've gone through, and then coming to a space like this, y'all don't even know, like, to have a space like Ladies Who Leverage, I was quickly to give up my investor money. Here, you want it? I need to be up in here. Like, you need some other peeps. Let me see if I can snag up her and her. Like, we need to get up in here, because this is unique. It's different. And we're all badasses in our own way, dominating in our own niche and stuff like that. And I could be freely me. I could come on here with one tooth in my mouth, four removed from me, and just be like, this is me, y'all. And y'all don't be like, she ain't cute enough. She ain't thin enough. She ain't this and that. I'm like, I don't have to be none of that. And as me and Kelly always say, this is the 40 plus year glow up. And this is just
what I'm in the 50 plus year grow up.
Okay. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years ago. Just realizing that, like, this is real. And like, it's not going to look perfect. And I don't care what you see on television with the badass women on TV with the glow ups and the plastic surgery. That's great. I love it. They can have it. Maintenance is a bitch. Y'all know that. But just, we can rise beyond everything and just say, to the people who said it couldn't be done, he moved a mountain out of my way. And then he told me, I got to speak, I got to move mountains. And so for the people who hate it, okay, so they call me the female MacGyver of business. I got two toothpicks and they're standing at the door. I'm going through them. I'm going around them, over them, whatever. And when they come on the other side of that door, I'll be standing there smiling.
I love it. I just love you. Pamela, what was your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge was moving outside of the box and destroying the box. Mm. Everybody expects you to do this and be that. Yo, you can't do this because they couldn't do it. So, of course, they're going to try to belittle you and downsize you. And so, you know, a lot of people in the circle or in my close surroundings, they kind of, you know, had a different way to see, and this is the way you look. So my challenge was to allow them to let me take my own will and not you, and I'm doing it for me and me only, and I want to be myself. And of course, I took the box, I burned it, I destroyed it, and it's in the ocean right now. That was my biggest challenge.
Yes. Michelle, what about you? What was your biggest challenge to getting to this powerful place?
So I started my career in big law, right? as an associate and then a partner, and I stayed for 12 years, which is a good little while. And generally 12 years means you're staying forever. I started my firm in 2014, and it was interesting because it meant that I was jumping into the unknown. I was leaving a very good job to embark on a new law firm that, like, I had this idea. Yeah, and I didn't know if it would work. I didn't know. But there was a point when I said, you know, I don't know what that looks like, but I know what I'm not doing anymore. Like, I know what I'm not doing. And that was the fuel for my firm. And once I started the firm and I was in charge, I'm a whole different person. I'm just a different human being. And she just came out because you don't have a choice, right? You're the accountant. You answer the phone. I had a new appreciation for my secretary. It's like, oh, you were doing something over there all those years, because this is a lot, right? So I really became me. And over the course of those years, I've been owning the firm for the last 6 years. I've just really blossomed into myself professionally, into really owning the fact that I know what I'm doing. Like, I know this. And I think that I'm pretty good at it. And I don't think the Michelle who was the partner, although the foundation of those firms, it was great. That person would have never said, I'm really good at this and I know what I'm doing and I can help you. But this person really knows it. And I think the challenge was getting from that person to this person, but it was also the fun part. Yeah. And this is the fun part.
Yes. The powerful Michelle, who is really good, not pretty good, who is damn good at what she does. And Miss Natasha, what was your challenge of getting to this place of just being in your power?
So I think it's apropos that Pamela was just talking about, you know, sort of smashing that box. So my biggest challenge is just really letting go of the idea that I had to be in a box. Because when I look back over my life, okay. I've never been in a box. I ain't never been in a box. Like, I mean, I was that kid. I was never going to do what my mama wanted me to do. Like, I never did it. Like, we clashed a lot growing up because she had one way of doing things and I had a whole nother one. And that has been my life. You know, I went the way, like, there's nobody else that's an engineer in my whole family. There's nobody else that has a doctorate degree in my whole family. Like, I was, you know, again, not saying it to brag, but I'm just saying I got to go my path.
I'm bragging if it's true.
Well, that's true. You know, you're right. Absolutely. But like everybody else was going left, I was going right. Right. It was just meant to be that way. I was never going to be in the box. And so for me, it was letting go of the idea that I had to be in the box. And once I realized, like, oh, okay, your journey's not going, it's not going to be like her journey, his journey, my sister's journey, my brother's journey, my mama's, it's not going to be that. So you have to accept that and then move into it. And fortunately or unfortunately, that didn't happen until I was maybe closer to 40. You know, everybody says 40 is good. Everybody says 50 is better. So I have to let y'all know, but 40 has been pretty good for me.
50 is good. 51's good.
But 40 was that, like, the light bulb sort of flipped on and was like, girl, you have to take a whole charge, like full charge of your own life. Mm-hmm. Like, you own it. The best advice I ever got, was from, a girlfriend I've had for like 30 years. And she told me, you never let someone else have control over your career. And it was like, what do you mean? I have a boss, I have a supervisor, they get to say, and she was like, no, they don't. And so it was just like it crashed down on me. And I have lived
with that advice in various and sundry different ways in my life from that moment on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you can't. And that's why when we were talking about, you know, why did you leave? And I was like, no, they don't have that much control. They cannot have that control, because then they will, when you allow people to have that say so, then you teach people how to treat you, right? And so they will continue to think that they have that power over you, and you will relinquish your own power. So Lisa, tell me what your challenge was in getting to this place of power.
Oh my goodness. So many challenges. My challenge is from day one has been writing my story, because the way I thought my life was going to work out and how it is playing out is like, there is no script for this. And that's definitely my challenge. I started my career as a kindergarten teacher, and that's really where I thought I was going to end my career. So I did not understand when I started to feel like the roots wrapping around a pot. And I was, it felt like that job felt like who I was, not just what I did. I loved it. So how, why did I feel like that? Why did I feel like there's something else? There's that voice. There's something else. And people are like, how could you leave that job? How could you leave that retirement? And I was like, I have to be true to me. I have no other choice. So then I went to pharmaceutical sales, and because I thought if I was a nursing assistant in a nursing home to pay for college. And I thought, if I ever get out of education, I'm going into the medical field. So I couldn't afford to go back to school. I couldn't afford to go get another degree. So someone said, why don't you try pharmaceutical sales? I said, I don't even take Tylenol. But when I really got behind the value of medicine and how important it is to have medicine when you need it, I was like, I can do that. I loved learning about medicine and how it worked in the body. And it was such a great job until I started to feel like that again. Like there was that voice, there's something else. Now I am a life coach and a speaker. And guess what? I'm still writing my story. I still don't know how this is going to play out. And yeah, it's hard to be a badass when you don't know the end, right? It's like, you don't know how this script is going to play out. So that is the biggest challenge. But to me, the fact that I get to write my own story and that I am the author is what makes it all worth it. But it's also the biggest challenge. Thanks, yeah. Kelly.
You're welcome. And you know, Lisa, my mom says to me, my mom says to me, when you're born, your book is written. And I say, feel free to edit accordingly. And so, you know, as we go along in life, one of the things that I know for sure is that life is not linear, right? So I started in college at 16 years old with a degree in fashion merchandising. I ended up, you know, practicing law for 24 years, and I'm now a professional speaker and the founder of Ladies Who Leverage. And so part of being a badass is not having to always know what the end is, but beginning with the end in mind, that there is always a vision, right? So being a badass is also about being a visionary and understanding that there is a vision and that the vision can change, right? And you have the right to change your mind. You know, I wrote a book and sent it to the editor and told him, give it back. It's not going anywhere, right? And so part of being a badass is being in control of the things in your life and understanding that when you decide that that's not the way you want to go and you want to take a detour, take the detour, right? Because that is what badasses do. They are in control and they stand in their power. So Ty, what was your challenge in getting to this place?
My biggest challenge was learning to ask a different question. I spent a lot of time in my life, you know, why me, right? Why didn't that happen? How could they do that to me? And I spent so many years in that space. And I wrote a book called Girlfriend, It's Your Time. And one of the things I talk about in there is that there's a difference between brilliant women and bright women. Because there are a lot of bright women, but we're bright because what we do is we label our situations, or we ask the wrong questions, like why me, or I never get, or no one ever helps me, and how come so-and-so gets all the opportunities? And you know, we play that game with ourselves and we have that dialogue. But when I learned to ask better questions, and it was hard because it's easy to stay in that space, right? Right? We always talk the sad stories and all that kind of, it's comfortable there if you've grown up in that space, right? And when I saw other people that stepped out, and some of you will relate to this, how many of you grew up hearing that term, who does she think she is? Mm-hmm. Right? who you, right? You know? And so if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to be separate. I'm going to be distant. And I learned to ask some better questions, right? So I'm not asking who do I think I am to have this. I'm looking at other people and I'm saying, well, how can I do what they did? Mm-hmm. Right? How did they make that happen? How did she do X, Y, and Z? And I'll tell you the story really quickly. I had one of those moments when I was starting out early as an entrepreneur. And I really, really wanted to write for the Huffington Post at the time. And I would submit stuff and nothing would happen. I would submit stuff and nothing would happen. And I got so frustrated. And then one of my clients was published in the Huffington Post. And I'm like, so, you know, my first thought was like, why does everybody else, right? You know, you go down that. And I said, okay, no. We're flipping this, right, Lisa? Right? We're flipping this. We're going to do something else, right? I'm going to be inspired. And so all I simply did was I asked her, I said, so how did you get in the Huffington Post? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I met Ariana Huffington at this, you know, event. Do you want me to introduce you? Yeah. It all, right? But it was all because I just simply asked a different question. Yeah. But it was so hard changing my brain and training myself to not go to those old habits and get out of my own way. But the minute I started asking better questions, I started getting different results.
That's awesome. I love that about asking a different question and also not being so proud, right, or angry that you didn't go and ask the question. And then when she said, hey, do you want me to introduce you? Like, mm-hmm, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. And you know, it's so funny because this past week I've been like in a funk, right? And I've been tears and had, you know, my coaches. And it was because I was in that space of like, why is this happening over here? Why is this happening over there? Why am I not doing right? And I had to like, well, they had to help me like 3 days of coaching, just in really talking to me about who I am. Like, you know, just remember who you are and what you're doing and stop trying to, sometimes we try to do things out here. Right? We see things and we're like, oh, I need to be going to do that. And y'all know, like one of the things that I was trying to do was create like this coaching program. And one day I had to just say, I don't want to be anybody's coach. Right? I like mentoring. I like advising. I love answering questions. I love this space, but I don't want to be a coach. Right? And so sometimes you have to just accept that not everything is for you. And that's, again, part of being a badass. So we don't have any questions, but Renee, I want you to jump in on the challenge question. And then what I would like you all to do as we wrap up is I'm going to ask everyone to give me, and I'll start with you, Renee, after you do your challenge, is what is one piece of advice that you would give women to be able to really unapologetically own their power? So I talk about like unleashing your badassery, unapologetically owning your power, living life unapologetically AF. But first, let's start with you, Renee, on the challenge piece. What was the challenge part about getting to owning your power?
I think for me, I just got tired of being tired. And I got tired of, I had to learn how to walk away from the things that didn't serve me. And the things that didn't serve me was not owning my story, not owning my brilliance, knowing that I had so much to contribute, but it wasn't being seen because I wasn't showing up. And that frustration was just fuel. So I had to make a decision. And, you know, being in Wall Street for all the years that I was on Wall Street and, you know, not being seen, there used to be times that I would say, am I invisible? Do you not see me? And it got to a place that I remember being in a boardroom and all of the executives were there. I had done most of the work and had shown up and they went around and introduced every single person except me. And I was sitting right across the person and I'm the only Black person. So I know you blank and saw me. So I stood up and I introduced myself. And it was at that moment that I decided that I am Renee Baker and I wasn't going to let the situations or anybody define who I was. And like Biggie said, I have a story to tell and I wasn't afraid to say it and not no longer being defined by my experiences, but being enhanced by them was something that was really important for me. So ultimately, it just got down to just tired of the BS. So that was a really defining moment for me. And life is too short. And my mother always says, just like you said, that you teach people how to treat you. And the shackles on my feet wouldn't let me dance, because those shackles were fear, and those shackles were worrying about what everybody else thought. So that's how I continue to show up every day, and unapologetically unafraid, because at the end of the day, I come home at night and it's me and me. And I have to deal with feeling that way. And my husband can't help me. My friends can't help me. It's with me. So I don't want to disappoint Renee. So I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah,
that's how that happened. So my advice would be to show people better than you can tell them. And that's just it. Just show people there's so much power in being underestimated. That's my biggest flex. Underestimate me. And I've said that to you before, Kelly. Yeah. I love being underestimated, me, because that's when the badass ninja shows up. And then you're like, where she come from? So show people better than you can tell them would be the advice that I would give to continue to show up in your badassery.
Thank you so much. What about you, Michelle? What's the advice that you would give?
So, you know, I think you have to surround yourself with people and words and things that inspire you to want to be who you are. I have a quote on my office desk that says, "Well-behaved women rarely make history." It's my favorite quote. And, you know, I often say, like, at the end of it all, do you want to be known as being agreeable or being who you really are? Because that matters. And you get to decide right now which one that will be, right? And then the second thing is, you know, there's also a quote that says, you know, figure out what you want in life and say no to everything else that won't get you there. And those two things are my mantras that I go back and forth between, particularly when I'm not feeling particularly badass. I remind myself, you're going to be agreeable or you're going to go get what you want? And is this thing serving the future you want to have? Because if the answer is no, then we need to do something different. And I would submit to those that are listening that if the answer is no for that thing that you're thinking about, then do something different.
Absolutely. Miss Pamela.
We go right after Michelle. Michelle, we're kind of close. Mine would definitely be to stay focused on your goals and desires, to dismiss your distraction, and to get rid of anything that no longer serves you. Mm-hmm. That's what would be my advice.
Love it. Ty, what about you?
My advice would be to refuse to play small. You know, refuse to play small, whether you are, you know, making yourself small so that you fit in. And I'm going to be real honest with this. Even if you've been playing small to fit in with your family, to fit in with your friends, refuse to play small, because we are eligible for so much more, right? There's a whole world out there waiting for us. There's abundance, there's prosperity, there's success. Everything that we desire, we're eligible for it. But if we play small, we will always wonder, right? We will always miss out. So just refuse to play small and go big.
Love it. Love it. Natasha.
Okay. There's a couple things. I've been thinking about this, right? I think the work to becoming a badass is internal. So you got to do the internal work to figure you out, and then your internal work will become external because people will see that. So it's got to start internal. So you got to do all the hard work of figuring yourself out, the do's and the don'ts and the wills and the won'ts and the cans and can'ts and all of that stuff, right? You got to do that. And the second thing I want to say is it's kind of this similar to what Ty was saying, is that I fully believe that you have the right to live your life out loud. Mm-hmm. And no one can take that from you. So when you're doing the work, and when you finish doing the work, or you continue to do the work, live out loud, do the thing that scares you the most, take a risk, you know, do the things, and you will be rewarded.
I love that. Lisa Robb.
Yes. I just love this so much. I can't even take it.
I think we're going to have to start LWL TV where we do something every week, like have our own series.
This is so fun. Y'all are... I can't believe how fast this time is going. I just can't even believe it. So my advice is around uncertainty, because I think so many of us face this so often. And my best advice as far as uncertainty is to collect clues, right? Collect clues. And it might not be an answer today, but you can be like, oh, that's a clue, right? Like for people that are watching this, maybe this is your first experience with Ladies Who Leverage. And you might be thinking, what? I've never seen a group of women that are so supportive and love to be cheerleaders for each other, right? Like maybe that's a clue. Maybe that's something that's missing in your life. Maybe you should be joining us. So collect clues when you're facing uncertainty. It's okay if you don't have all of the answers all at once, but it's never too early to start collecting clues.
I love that one. I've never thought about that, but I love that, right? Because you may not need it right now, but as you say, later on, or if you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, that's what's missing. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't know what the thing is that we need.
Yeah.
So really doing that reflection. And Precious.
This goes along with my Queen Lisa. It's really never too late to be who you might've been. It's never too late. I was thinking, as you were saying, Lisa, like I thought about that 5-year-old Precious who used to watch Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and Phil Donahue, and just knew that was what I was supposed to do with my life. Oprah came around. I remember her later, but I remember Sally, Jesse, Raphael with her red glasses. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise some dolls, some stick figures. I'm going in. I don't know what I'm talking about at 5, but I'm going in, and they with me. And so to think that the thing that used to get me in trouble, get me paddled by the principal back in the day, 42, is the very thing that truly gives me life today and gives life to others. And so it's never too late. I remember being in a psych ward of Brooklyn Center for Psychotherapy. I haven't been in a psych ward for almost 5 years now. That's awesome. But I remember being in and out, treating it like club bed. Silly. And I remember I started writing poetry for the first time, and it sounded good. And I was like, it took me into my late 30s to know how to write poetry. That's weird. But it sounded good. And then that told me that I do have communication skills. And it's not lost that I'm just sitting here being the mayor of a psych ward. Maybe I can do that on the outside too. So it's never too late to be who you might have been. And we often talk about, you know, don't be a carbon copy of anyone else. Do you know how extraordinary you really are when you let your freak flag fly? Just let it fly. And I think, Kelly, one of the hardest things is when we're in our 20s, we want to fit in. Mm-hmm. We want to have the great grades. We want to graduate from the great school. We think all of the titles are going to mean something. But as a woman at 42, you can go to Harvard. Yeah, you go to London School of Economics. You can have all of that and still have heartbreak. You can still have bad things happen. And so just knowing it's never too late to be who you might have been. And you can start that today.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that. And then for me, what I would say to you, and you all know that I say this all the time, and so I would love for every woman to always repeat every single day that I belong everywhere I am, but I don't belong everywhere. I think that's so important to understand that you belong in any space that you're in, and what other people think about you is not your business. And if they're questioning why you're there, that's their problem. Let them find the answer. You already know. That is the place that you're supposed to be. But you also don't belong everywhere, which means that everyone does not deserve your presence. So that goes back to what Michelle was saying. When things and people don't serve you, remove them, right? And that is part of being a badass. So y'all are amazing, amazing. I love you. I appreciate you for just being all into this vision. Like the moment I said I was doing this, everybody's like, yes, 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 yes. So thank you all. Thank you everyone who joined us on Facebook. Thank you everyone who joined us here live in the studio. Ladies Who Leverage is, as I said, a global community of women, and it's really global. We have women from all over the world who are in this organization who really support each other, create community. When we talk about collabosourcing, we mean collabosourcing. And they talk about cheering each other on, but it's not just that. the women hire each other, we work together, we refer each other out. So when you come into a community like this, that is really a safe place for you to explore your hopes, your dreams, your desires, and then to have women really cheering you on to move you forward. I think Lisa was the one who said in her bio that when you win, we all win. And that is really what Ladies Who Leverage is all about. So if you would like to join us in Ladies Who Leverage, we have our Facebook community that you can come into. These women that you see on all of the episodes of What's the Tea are Ladies Who Leverage investors. So that's a higher level of membership where we meet and have summits and act as each other's advisory board to really help each other move our businesses and our careers forward. So I would encourage you to, once you come into the community, to explore, but to really start to do the work. None of us got here without doing work, right? Wherever we are in life, none of us got here without doing the work. And when you come into communities, whatever community you are in, you have to really engage, because that's how you get to know each other. That's how people get to know you. That's how people speak your name in rooms that you're not in. And that is currency. If you are on Clubhouse, one of the things that you have to observe is the power of association. When you look at those rooms where they have 3,000 people and everybody on the stage is a moderator, watch and listen to what's happening. What's happening is that people are calling each other's names and talking about, oh, hi, I work with this person, I work with that person, even if they just call that person on the phone. Why is that? Because they're lending credibility to that person. And so everybody who's in the audience, they have no idea what the connection is, but they're like, okay, well, if that person who I believe is up here and is a badass is calling this person's name, that person too must be a badass. I need to follow that person. And that is what we're about. So Ladies Who Leverage is really about creating influence and impact in the world and for each other. So hopefully you'll join us again next week. March 26th is our final episode of What's the Tea, where we'll be talking about relationships, expectations versus reality. Please share this. The video is on Facebook. Please share it with everyone, women that you know, to really help them stand in their power and unapologetically live their lives. So we say live life unapologetically AF. Please listen to the Ladies Who Leverage podcast. Precious's episode just aired this week. So please go listen to her episode on ladieswholeveragepodcast.com. And again, go to thetea.live to register for Friday's episode. And all of these episodes are on that. This one will be up there sometime this week, but the last two episodes are there, so you haven't missed anything. So ladies, thank you all. Ladies Who Leverage, thank you all for your love, your support, your vision, and all of your badassery.
Are you a current speaker or an attorney, coach, expert, or entrepreneur who's tired of speaking for free or being underpaid? Are you ready to make bank for your brilliance? I have the perfect solution for you. Speaker Moguls. We create highly paid, sought-after speakers by focusing on teaching you to master the business of professional speaking and building a bankable speaker brand that gets you known and paid. If you're ready to do what it takes for clients to put some respect on your name and pay you your value, you need to join our Speaker Moguls community now. You can join us at speakermogulsgroup.com. Yep, that's speakermoguls with an S, group.com. Let's go get your money.